Hello and welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and if you're joining us for the first time, welcome to this wonderful community. Every Tuesday, I bring you a new episode where I interview a mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. And then on Fridays, we get to have a more informal chat where I chat about the things that are on my mind in terms of parenthood and things like that. And at the end of every month, we award an Extraordinary Mom of the Month award to one extraordinary mom. So it's a really fun place to be, and I'm so glad you stumbled upon this podcast. If you haven't already, why don't you go over to Instagram and follow me? I'm at Jessica Dahlquist 3. I also have a Facebook page, Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And for more information about any of the past episodes and guests, you can visit extraordinarymomspodcast.com. I am so excited for today's episode. I am interviewing Katie Lieber. Katie is a mom who has two little girls, and they're from the United States, but they decided that travel was one of their priorities, and so they picked up and moved over to Switzerland. And they were about to embark on, you know, lots of significant travel all over Europe when their lives changed dramatically when their 18-month-old daughter was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she went in for emergency surgery. And needless to say, it has been a long journey since this past August, and I can't wait to keep you up to date and let you know how her darling Ava is doing right now and what the future looks like for their whole family in terms of travel and health and just life perspective. Katie is such an extraordinary mom, and I really am excited for you to hear my conversation with her today. So let's get to it. All right. I would like to welcome to the podcast today, Katie Lieber. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
It was so funny because when I first started following you on social media, I didn't know your name. I just know your daughter's name because you talk a lot about her. And then when we started emailing and it was your email was from Katie Lieber, I'm like, what? Because that's my maiden name is Lieber.
No way.
I was Jessica Lieber until I was 23 years old. So it's so funny. Maybe we're related and we didn't know it.
It might be.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, Katie, I just think you're such an extraordinary mom, and I cannot wait for the listeners to hear your amazing story, both in terms of travel and that being a priority in your family's life, and then also this most recent adventure that your family's been through with your daughter's health. So let's go ahead and just start by introducing yourself and give the listeners a little background on who you are.
Okay. My name's Katie Lieber, and we live in Switzerland, our family. We've lived there for the past 8 years. I met my husband exactly 10 years ago, actually. Mm. We met in China because we were both living in China, and we were living and working there. He's actually from Salt Lake City, and I'm from the Salt Lake City area. So it's kind of a coincidence.
You have to go halfway around the world and then you meet each other.
Exactly, right? Yeah, so we got married in 2006, and we lived in China for our first year of marriage, and then we lived in the U.S. for about a year, and then we moved to Switzerland.
Okay, and then what took you to Switzerland?
My husband's job.
Okay. And so, is it the type of job where you're going to be constantly moving all around the world, or that was just the choice that you made?
No, his company that he works for, they have an office in Salt Lake and in China and in Switzerland.
Okay.
So it's between those three.
Yeah. And
what
has that been like for you? So you had both of your girls over there?
Yeah, I had both of my girls over there.
And I mean, you obviously don't have a comparison between having a child in the States, but what was that experience like? Do they speak English entirely, and how is it?
Yeah, the doctors spoke English. They do a lot of stuff with midwives, and a lot of the midwives just spoke German. And I was just, when I had my first daughter, I was just learning German at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of, it was a mix.
Yeah.
But the doctors have always spoken English to me, which it helps, especially when you're having a baby.
Yeah. There's enough going on that it's like, okay, you don't need a language barrier too.
I know. Yeah, but no, I thought the birth and everything was, I had really hard pregnancies and really hard births, but overall, I mean, the care was fantastic. So
I
told my husband, if we ever had another kid, I'd want to have it in Switzerland for sure.
Wow. Well, that's really saying something. That's great.
Yeah.
So tell me your daughter's names. And
Taylor,
ages?
and she's 6 years old, and Ava, and she's just turned two.
Okay, Taylor and Ava. So tell me about those early days of motherhood for you. You're living in Switzerland. You just have little Taylor. Was motherhood what you thought it would be?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I really loved it. I was really happy not to be pregnant, so I was just like, yeah, okay. The only issue I really, the thing I really struggled with was my daughters, both of them, they don't sleep well.
Yeah.
They've never been good sleepers. And I was the same. So my mom was just like, oh, what comes around goes around.
Right, yeah, karma, yeah.
And they have enormous amounts of energy, which I also do too. So it works, but it was a challenge.
Yeah.
It was definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
So the lack of sleep was a challenge, and the lack of help from family, because mm-hmm. we don't have any family over there. So it was just us.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like you wished that you were living closer to family once you started having children?
I did, but I also liked that it was just us. Like,
yeah.
we had each other to just depend on each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you really solidified the little family unit versus,
yeah.
like, there's beauty in, you know, connecting with the grandparents and extended family and stuff, but you really grow a lot. We're a military family, and so since living away from family, yeah, we've really solidified in just us and you know, working as our little team.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree, because, it was just this whole, you know, when something goes wrong, I can't, like, you know, run to my mom or whatever. We just have to work it out. And I think we've really gotten closer as a family, which has prepared us for, you know, what has happened in our life.
So, right. So let's go ahead and get into that. Now that your kids were getting a little bit older, you decided you were about to embark on this big travel season, and you had a bunch of different trips planned all over Europe. And I mean, tell me some of the places you were planning.
Yeah, my husband travels a lot for his job. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I had my first baby, we started traveling, and I've always had a love for travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized like how easy it was to travel with babies and with kids. Cause you know, I think a lot of times you hear about, you know, people who say, oh, you know, when you have your kids or when you get married, you can't do that anymore. But I've traveled more with my kids than I did when I was single.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any like travel tips that really help it to go smoothly?
Yeah, but I write some blog posts, and I put some things on my Instagram about that. So
yeah, so people can follow along and,
yeah.
and get some of your best tips.
So last summer I launched a company called Teva Adventures, and we make travel cards for kids. And they're basically like these cards and this little passport holder with games on the back to keep the kids like engaged and everything, but give them a little bit of history of where they're at.
Wow.
And so we launched that in July, and then in August we were planning, you know, our travels for the fall. And we were going to go to Florence, we were going to go to the States, we were going to go to Germany, and probably we had, I think, Paris and London, because those were some of the cities that I had launched with. So we really had a big fall travel schedule.
Yeah. Everything planned out. You're
exactly.
You're in control. Yeah. You're booking things and everything. And then, what happened?
Our little Ava, who was 18 months old at the time, just started regressing and everything. You know, she kind of stopped crawling. It was a really slow process, but she slowly, and at first we thought it was a phase, but she stopped talking, you know, as much. She stopped crawling as much. She wasn't as active. And then the week of like August 25th or something, we really noticed that she just stopped doing most stuff, and she just wanted to sit on the couch. And we just decided, you know what, this isn't right. And I was scheduled to go to the States on the 31st of August with Ava, and so we took her to our pediatrician, and he was with her for 1 minute. And he said, go straight to the emergency room. So we headed into the ER and, yeah, we just, they told us we needed to stay overnight. And we just thought, yeah, they're being really conservative. And the neurologist came and took a look at Ava, and she said, worst case scenario, it's going to be a tumor. And
that, we had like, that even crossed your mind?
No, no, no. We thought maybe something like some degenerative, like, oh, we weren't really sure. At first, we actually thought she had hypermobility because she's really flexible and she just wasn't walking. And this was at 18. She was 17 months old.
Uh-huh.
And there was late walkers in my family. So, you know, I didn't think it was a big deal, but the head tilt sort of worried me and the lack of just that she had regressed, basically.
Okay.
So yeah, the doctor said worst case scenario tumor, but we were just like, it's not going to be a tumor. But in the back of my head, I was just like, oh my gosh, what if it's a tumor?
Yeah.
And, so they took her in for the MRI, and the MRI, you know, it was, should only have taken 45 minutes and it was an hour and a half. And so we went into the waiting room and we were just sitting there, because they have to put Ava to sleep when they do the MRI.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all these doctors started walking in. The neurologist walked into the, like the back of the, where they do the MRI. Another doctor walked in, what looked like a surgeon, a couple of surgeons, like all these people just started walking in. And I looked over at my husband and I just said, this isn't a good sign. And he's like, Katie, you're just being negative. We got to be positive. And I'm like, no, I'm being realistic now.
Right.
Like, this is not a good sign. All these people are walking back there. And he's like, it's probably for another kid. And I said, Ava was the last one that went in there. She was the last kid for the day because they did it late at night. And I said, this is not good. So the neurologist came out and she came out with she was with another doctor, a man. And his name, now we know, is Dr. Grotzer. And she said, this is Dr. Grotzer, your oncologist. And she referred to him as your oncologist.
You're like, I don't want him to be mine.
I know. I was did I ask for an oncologist? I don't want him. And I lost it. I just like broke down in tears and lost it.
Wow.
Yeah. And it turned out that Ava has a, they call it a medulloblastoma. And, it's basically cancer of the fluid in your brain. And it created a tumor in the back of her head. And then, she had some small mastocytes in her back as well.
Wow.
So, yeah.
This is not what you were expecting. You're about to embark on a fall of travel and you have things booked and life is going along swimmingly. And then you get knocked down with this. I can't imagine that moment.
Yeah. And it was crazy because, they told us the diagnosis and everything. And they said, we said, well, you know, what about Ava? And they said, we have to keep her. She has an enormous amount of fluid built up in her brain and we've got to go release the fluid. So she's got to go in for surgery, emergency surgery right now. So,
wow. You're not prepared for that.
No, you're not, because you hear that your daughter has cancer and then they're like, okay, you need to go back to her right now and walk her into the surgery and then come back here and we'll talk. So wow. It was like,
you're being thrust into a whole new world of medical jargon and unknown prognosis and treatments. And I mean, I can't imagine all the input that is just being rushing at you at that moment.
Yeah, it was really overwhelming, and I think the best word to describe it was just shock. We were just in shock.
Wow. So she went in to have the fluid released, and then on the very day that you were supposed to be flying back to the States, she had brain surgery.
Yeah, she had a 12-hour brain surgery, and which was a miracle because usually when that small of child, the neurologist, the brain surgeon came and talked to us and he said, you know, I could probably only do surgery for about 4 to 5 hours. He said, if she's doing really good, we're going to keep going. But he said there might be another brain surgery. And then he gave us a whole list of complications because the tumor was where her motor functions were. There was, a whole slew of complications as far as things that she wouldn't be able to do when she got out of surgery. And but yeah, her surgery lasted 12 hours, and it was probably the hardest day of our lives.
Did they update you along the way when it was
They
going longer?
didn't really.
Oh my gosh.
But they just said, consider no news is good news. So I said, okay.
Wow.
But yeah, once the surgery was over, because the doctor said, as soon as the surgery is over and she's stable, I will call you. But he didn't call us until like 9 o'clock at night. So, well, it was a lot of waiting.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, the surgery went really well. He said she was amazing. Right after the surgery, he's like, she tried to stand up. He's like, I've never seen that before in my life. I
She
was like,
has a will, right?
yes. And yeah, he just said it. She was doing so well that they were able to pull, get most of the tumor out, take her in for an MRI, look and see what's left of the tumor, go back into surgery, finish what they started, then take her in for another MRI to make sure they got it all. So
Wow.
it was a big process.
But what a miracle that they were able to, she was able to handle that duration.
It was a complete miracle. And she didn't have, so many complications after. She couldn't sit anymore and she couldn't speak. And she had some problems with her right arm. But, within a couple of weeks she could sit again and she was saying a few words and stuff. So
Were you worried in the very beginning that those functions would not return, or did they give you hope that over time those things would come back?
yeah, the doctor said it's just, he said there's just so many nerves in this area and
Yeah.
everything. He said over time it will most likely come back. He said there's no, obviously no guarantee, but he said, it will most likely come back.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
Wow.
so.
That's all. I mean, I just keep saying wow over and over again because this is just so amazing. This little 18-month-old angel that is fighting so hard and allowing the doctors to do what they need to do to her little body. I mean, that's just amazing to me.
Yeah,
Wow.
it was, she's amazing. She's
Yeah.
really amazing. They're little fighters. We don't realize how strong those little ones are.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So.
And I mean, what's the climate on the oncology floor? Like, did you have much interaction with other families?
We were on just like a kind of like a surgery floor type of thing. And then we moved up to the oncology floor. And yeah, we did have a lot of, we've had a lot of contact with all the parents because, there's like a community kitchen and all this stuff where, but the overall climate is there was a lot of negativity. There's a lot of like doomsday. Oh, my kid has cancer. I feel so bad for myself. My life's, a wreck, which was really hard for us because we were trying to stay very, very positive.
Yeah. So tell me about the approach that you took instead.
Yeah, the approach we took was when we met with our oncologist the first time, he said, the best advice that I can give to you is live in the moment. Live for today. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about yesterday. Live for right now. And he said, your life will be a lot easier. So after we initially met with him, we decided that we were going to try as hard as we possibly could to do that, and that we weren't going to Google anything.
That must
I
have been
mean,
hard to do.
we Googled a few times, but it
Yeah.
wasn't like, but on the oncology floor, a lot of the parents were just Googling all the time. And it's, Europeans aren't as, positive and upbeat as Americans in general.
Yeah, that's true.
But, there was a lot of Googling. There was a lot of, when my daughter would come to the floor, they would say, oh, isn't this just awful that you have to be here? And I'd be like, no, it's great. Taylor loves it. And Taylor would just look at me like, Yeah, Ma. And she'd go, yeah, I love it. And the other parents would be like, no, you're in the hospital. Hospitals aren't fun. You shouldn't have fun here because you're in a hospital. And I was like, oh, no, we have fun in a hospital. We're Americans. We do stuff differently.
Yeah, what were you telling Taylor about all this? This had to be terribly traumatic for her when to see her little sister so sick and then to be separated from her in the hospital. It had to be so hard.
Yeah, it was difficult. But we initially started telling her, what was going on with Ava, and you could just see all of a sudden this fear come into her. And so we kind of tapered off and we just sort of stopped. And we thought, because Taylor's the kind that also just thinks in the moment. She's not thinking about tomorrow. She's not thinking about yesterday. She's thinking about right now. And we thought the best way to approach it with Taylor and her personality is to only tell her what is happening today. So, like, oh, today Ava's not feeling great, but she really wants you to come and hold her hand and give her a smile, or, like, yeah, this is a good adventure. We're going to go get to stay, because they had a housing for families by the hospital. So I'm like, yay, we get to go stay in a new place. And she's like, is it like a hotel? And I'm like, yeah, because Taylor loves hotels. She loves hotels, like her favorite thing. So I'm like, well, it's kind of like a hotel, only it's cooler because there's like a kitchen there and there's like going to be other families staying there. And she's like, oh, great. So and she's like, is there room service? And I'm like, oh, there's not really room service. But it's just so fun because we can cook our own food.
They can sense I mean, they're going to mirror our emotions to some degree. And so I think
Exactly.
if we are putting out positivity, at least trying to as much as possible, they're
Exactly.
going to pick up on that and be able to live in that type of climate and function amongst that type of feeling for sure.
Exactly. And I noticed that with parents when I would see, the parents being getting upset or something, I would notice that their kids would also get upset, and the whole family would just be a mess. I think, and with Ava, I noticed, like, and with Taylor, when I would be upset or on edge or something, not to say I wasn't inside, but when I would show that, Ava's blood pressure would go up or go down, or she would get grumpy, or and Taylor would be grumpy. And so I just thought, I have to do my very best to put on a happy face for my girls. I have to be positive and just put on a happy face for my girls. And if I need to cry or something, or I need to be really upset, then because it when I'm really upset, it really scares Taylor. And so I just thought, I can't have her being scared. So I just need to walk away, go, do what I need to do, cry, whatever. Usually it happened in the middle of the night. And then get back in there. So, yeah.
I was going to ask, like, how did you muster up the strength? Because there had to be times where you just weren't feeling up to being positive,
Yeah,
and there was got to be days that were not hopeful
no.
necessarily or easy to see the joy in the little things. It must have been hard to live in the moment sometimes because sometimes the moment was terrible.
Yes, exactly. It was, and so we just tried to find anything positive about that moment, just anything.
Tell me about when she was losing her hair.
Oh, yeah, when she was losing her hair, she thought it was so funny, and all I wanted to do was cry. I mean, I'm just like,
Little
oh my
girl.
gosh, her hair, and she thought it was so funny, and Taylor thought it was so funny. So Taylor was helping her pull her hair out, and they were like throwing it all over the room, and I was just like, okay, I have a choice here. I really do have a choice. I can sit and cry, or I could start laughing because they're throwing my little girl's hair around the
You're like, what am I living right now?
I'm like, and so, we had a little party where we threw Ava's hair around the room, and
Yeah, your
yeah, and
entertainment becomes a little different in the hospital, doesn't
exactly.
it?
You're just grasping at straws as to anything you can find to keep yourself entertained.
But you
So,
can either do that or sit and wallow and be miserable. And no doubt there's moments like that as well where you're entitled to feel all the feelings. But you can also choose to laugh again.
Yeah, exactly. And I noticed, the times where I was, just really upset and everything, the time went by so slow. And I was just like, I'm never getting out of this hospital. Whereas if we tried to make it fun, then, her chemo treatments that usually lasted a week, it didn't seem so long to be there for a week.
Yeah,
So, but
that's a
I
good
know,
point.
like, the days when I was, really upset or just like, oh, I just don't want to be here. I'm over this. I just want to be back to normal. Then, a minute felt like, a year. And I was just like, okay, I've got to get a hold of myself and try and see something positive in this and try and have fun with my
Yeah.
girls.
I was talking to another friend the other day about she was going through something really hard, and when she was in the middle of it, we were talking about how even when you're still in that dark place, there's still joy to be found throughout your day. And even if the overarching theme is difficulty or a challenge, if you're looking for the good and you're looking to be grateful or you're looking to be kind or you're looking to laugh, you can find that. And it's okay. It's okay to be happy during the day, even in the midst of a trial. And sometimes that's the only way you can really get through each day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the nurses commented a lot on us. They said, every time we come in here, you guys are just so happy and just having fun and just like, we really like to come in here. And some of the nurses actually were like, oh, I'm just gonna hang out in here for a while because,
I'm
it's
sure it's
just
a nice
Ava's always
change.
laughing and it's so.
Yeah.
But I just said, we really do have a choice right now. There's nothing I can do about my situation. There's nothing I can do about the fact that my daughter has a brain tumor. And I can either, so my, I feel like my choice is I can either make the best of it or I can make the worst of it. And we just choose to make the best of it.
That is why you're extraordinary, Katie. That is
Yeah.
why you're that I mean, part of the reason why you are so extraordinary. Yeah, and I think when we model that for our children, they will take that same outlook on life. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So what was the course of Ava's treatments after that very lengthy surgery that was largely successful in getting that tumor out? What did the next few months hold?
Then we just had chemo treatments, and usually we would be in the hospital anywhere from 4 days to a week, and those were about every other week. And then she had some high dose chemo treatments the first part of January, and we were in the hospital for 10 weeks.
So
So
total, how long was she in the hospital?
total overnight stays in the hospital, we were there for 150 days.
Wow.
So,
Wow.
yeah.
So when you're talking about like mustering up the strength to be positive, you really had to dig deep. That's a lot
We
of
really
days.
did.
That's a lot of days, Katie. So how did this really impact your view on parenting and living a life according to a to-do list and getting caught up in the daily tasks of life? How did this kind of change your perspective on parenting and life in general?
Yeah, it changed it a lot just because I think when you have a child with a life-threatening disease, all of the little things don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
So, like the dishes that are sitting in the sink, those can wait. And I think the thing that I've learned the most is to live in the moment. And I think taking our doctor's advice helped, but also just because yeah, I mean, our kids are a gift.
Yeah.
I know it's not easy to be a mom. It's not easy for me. Every day it's difficult to be a mom. It's difficult to be a parent. But if we're able to see our kids as, they're a gift. Their health is a gift. Their life is a gift. And yeah, to just live in the moment and say, you know what? Yeah, there's been times where I've thought, where I've actually said, you know what, Taylor, we're taking you out of school and we're just going to go have a fun day. Because Ava, after Ava's treatment and after we were done with the hospital, I just said, life is too short for you to have to go to school every day.
Yeah, I want you with me.
Yeah, I just said, I want you with me.
Yeah.
And I found like this, like, because Ava can't go to the zoo, so we found this like zoological museum and we went, and it was the best day. And I thought, forget the dishes, forget cleaning the house, forget, we have no food in our house. I don't care. I just want to go be with my girls.
You have everything you need right in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Will you talk about the special time with Ava in the hospital?
Yeah, a lot of people would ask, like, how do you stand being in the hospital? And, isn't this so hard? And even the nurses would say, like, how do you stand being in this room all day long? Because Ava's was mostly on isolation, so she couldn't leave the room.
Wow.
And after a while, I just thought, you know what, this is a, most parents don't get this. I mean, I didn't get it with Taylor, where they spend 24/7 with their kid, watching them grow and interacting with them, because that's all I had to do during the day.
Yeah.
And thankfully, my husband was so sweet to take care of everything, well, most things,
Yeah.
but that's all I could be doing because I was in the hospital as well. But yeah, so it was just, even on the days when she was just so sick, I thought, you know what, this is such a gift that I get to sit here and just hold her. I don't have anything else going on. I don't have to do anything. It's just such a gift, and it's such a because you don't get that time with your kids. I didn't get that time with Taylor, and I thought, this one-on-one time that I have with Ava, I'm just going to try and treasure.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that helped get me through the hospital stays and the long days was I thought, I'm not going to get this time back. I'm never going to get this time back. And I have the time and I'm here and I'm just going to enjoy playing with her. And, when she was really, really sick, I would just hold her all day. And I just think, this is fantastic because this isn't going to happen forever. And I'm really going to, you always hear those moms that say, hold your babies because when you're older, you're going to miss it. And I thought, I'm going to take their advice
Yeah.
and just hold her because I might miss this one day. So,
Yeah. And especially when you turned her over to those surgeons before that
yeah.
12-hour surgery. I mean, you did not know the outcome. And thankfully, it turned out the way that it did. But I mean, to be able to hold her and have her there, it's just like, this is what motherhood is all about.
Yeah.
Showing up for your kids. And it's so sad. And I feel so guilty at times because it's like, I have three healthy kids. And yet, I do get so caught up in my to-do list on a lot of days. And I could choose to play with them and watch them more. But I don't take advantage of that.
Yeah,
And
but
I don't
I
know.
really do think that's normal. I
I
mean,
do too.
I think as mothers, we feel guilty if there's
Yeah.
dishes in the sink and we're playing with our kids, or we feel guilty if we're doing the dishes and we're not playing with our
Yeah.
kids. It's just, yes,
It's
it's a lose-lose, and we just I don't know the answer for that.
Yeah.
But I just think as mothers, that's how we feel because we want to have everything. We want to have our house put together. We want to do our to-do list. We want to, basically, as women, I think we want to be able to do everything.
Yeah, no, it's
And
true.
I think a lot of times we just have to realize, you know what? We can't do everything. And my husband always tells me this. He's like, you cannot do everything. You just need to do the important things.
Yeah. So you mentioned to me earlier there were four things that you learned through this experience that were really positive and will continue to serve you well the rest of your life. Can you share with us what those four things are?
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest lessons we learned was kindness. And people always say, oh, kindness? That's such a strange lesson.
You're probably very nice before.
But yes, it's kindness. When we first found out about Ava's diagnosis, we've read an article that said, like, 10 things that, somebody's supposed to know, the parents are supposed to know when their kids are diagnosed with cancer. And one of them was to be kind to your nurses because they are your greatest advocates, basically. And my husband and I read that and I said, you know what, we really need to do this because, there were some nurses that we were like, oh, whatever. And I said, we really need to be kind to everybody and we need to try to spread light and find the good in everybody. And so that's one thing that we decided that we would try to do, especially with the nurses, with our, you know, all the other parents and everything. And number one, it's amazing how being kind helps you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And number two, it's amazing how being kind can help other people just by, you know, just... I remember being in the kitchen and there were some other parents that were just kind of down and I was like, hey, you know, how are you doing? Are you okay? And they're like, yes, you know, thank you. Thank you for asking. And there was one time where this lady was in the kitchen and she was crying and she just said, I just feel like my family's torn apart. And I just gave her a hug.
Yeah.
And she was like, I really needed that. She said, thank you. She said, none of the other parents have really wanted to talk to me or be nice to me because she's from Macedonia and she's Muslim. And I said, you know, she said, I think it's because of my religion. And I said, well, I'm your friend. And, you know,
yeah.
Just, and after that, she came to me and she said, you know, I've been at this hospital for a year with my son. And she said, but I've never felt so good being here as when I'm here, when you're here.
Oh.
Because he said, I know that I'm going to get a smile from you. And I know that you're going to be nice to me. And I was like, you know, kindness just goes a long way.
And it's the small things. Like, you didn't do anything big. You didn't order her the largest flower arrangement in Switzerland.
No.
You know, it's just a smile. It's a hug. It's knowing somebody is in your corner. And so I think an important message for the listeners is do not underestimate what may be small to you and the impact that that could have on somebody else's day.
Exactly. And sometimes it's just acknowledging that someone's actually there.
Yeah. That's got to be so isolating. I mean, you're interacting with the medical professionals, but to talk to just another mom who really gets what you're going through, that had to be huge.
So kindness was one thing. Mm-hmm. The next thing we really learned was flexibility and patience, like how to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as, you know, as moms, you know, we want to have, you know, we, a lot of times we want to control everything that's going on. You know, we want to control what our kids are doing, what they're eating, who they're playing with, their time, everything. And I really had to be flexible, number one, because basically my husband was taking care of Taylor. So I was just like, I don't know what's going on with Taylor. You're taking care of her. I have to let that go and just be flexible about that.
Mm-hmm.
And just being flexible in general, because, you know, there was a lot of times when we had, you know, like I had a plan to do something, a very small thing during the day, but then we had to take Ava into the hospital and, you know, in the middle of the night, and, you know, obviously we didn't have anybody to watch Taylor in the middle of the night, so our whole family had to go in the middle of the night, and Taylor would just say, Mom, where are we going? And I would just say, hey, you know, we've just got to be a little bit flexible here. It's going to be super fun. We're just going into the hospital in the middle of the night. It's like we're going on vacation. And she was like, oh, okay. And yeah, so I think being flexible is just a really big thing to just sometimes let things go.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of parents who tried to control, you know, everything that the doctors were even doing with their, or even what the doctors were suggesting, you know, and sometimes you just have to let it go and say, look, I'm letting that in your hands because you are a doctor and I'm just going to sit back. You just have to learn to sit back and ride things out.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day things if you let yourself, but keeping the big picture in mind, like, okay, if I micromanage this one nurse or this one doctor, is that really going to make a difference or is that going to negatively impact my day and my mindset?
Exactly. And I think, you know, sometimes, well, what I've saw in the hospital is it only makes, parents crazy. And a lot of parents commented like, oh, you're just so like relaxed and calm and nothing bothers you. And I'm like, inside it's bothering me. You know, there's certain things that I, you know, I wasn't able to do, or I had planned something and I had to cancel it, or, you know, I don't, you know, my husband didn't brush Taylor's hair for school, but you know, I thought, again, I have a choice. I can either be angry about it, or I can just say, yeah, you know, we got to be flexible
next time. Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. So that was another thing that we really learned, is how to be like flexible and just sort of go with the flow.
Yeah.
And which helped a lot. The other thing, and we already kind of talked about this, was living in the moment. And I can't tell you how hard it is to live in the moment. I think we all know it's very hard to live in the moment, but how important it is that we live in the moment, especially for our kids.
Yeah.
And I found that when I'm, you know, just sort of don't worry about, you know, the dishes or the housework or, you know, what is on my to-do list, I found that if I can just live in the moment and just be there for my girls, that's when I'm the most happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you're not feeling super positive in the moment, just trying to fake it till you make it almost, you know, can kind of trick your mind into becoming more positive and developing that habit instead of a negative habit pathway.
Yeah. And then the other thing we learned, which is the power of positive thinking.
Yes.
Which was a really big one as well, because, you know, we were in such a negative situation and, you know, everybody that found out about us, they just were like, I don't even know what to say to you. This is the worst thing in the world that's ever happened. And so you're like, yeah, we're trying to be positive.
That's not helpful.
And we were in an extremely negative situation, and there was a lot, like I said before, there was a lot of negativity around us.
Yeah.
But the power of positive thinking, it just went such a long way, because, you know, I would see a kid in the hallway, because Ava and I would, when she could leave the room, we would walk up and down the hallway if we could, and she was feeling good because she liked to look around.
Yeah.
And some of the kids, that's what they would do too. And so we'd be like, hey, high five, and, you know, try to be positive. And they would just look at us, and then they, positivity always spills over onto other people.
Yeah.
And so then, the other kids would be positive and happy, and they'd be like, Mom, look at this. This is so fun, walking in the hall. And you know, their parents would be like, you're just walking in a hall in a hospital. It's not fun. And they're like, no, we're having fun. And so it's the power of positive thinking. It's just, it can change the night to day, really.
Yeah.
It's amazing and it's not easy. But if you really work at it, because it's not like, you know, you can just find out that your kid has cancer and be like, okay, I'm going to be positive, you know, because all these things are running through your mind, like a million emotions. So you really have to work at this. And I mean, pretty much everything you do, it's a lot of work, but, you know, it's worth it. And it just changes the outlook and everybody around you and in yourself.
Yeah, there's that saying, you treat people how to treat you. And that kind of applies in the situation. Like if you're treating other people with kindness and positivity, you're going to more likely get that back. And so while, you know, the other parents and other families might have been in this negative type of environment in their own little room, gosh, here comes this little bundle of sunshine in Ava and you coming down the hallway and giving high fives. And it's like, oh, that's an option? Okay, here we go. Like, let's try that instead.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
It's just so, so important to try and be positive, especially when you're faced with such trials, because it really can change the complete outlook of your children, of you, of your family, of everything, and the people around you.
Yeah, and I love how you're teaching your children how to view and handle trials. I mean, you would never ask for this, obviously, and you'd never wish it on anybody else. But, I mean, it sounds like this has really been a formative time in your life, almost in a positive way. I'm putting words in your mouth, but, you know, because, I mean, think of what your girls are learning about overcoming challenges. Like, you guys are doing it. You're getting through this really hard thing, and you're doing it together. And with a good attitude, And you guys are going to be better and stronger because of it.
Yeah, I know exactly. And we've tried to be, you know, good examples and examples of kindness and positivity to everybody that we come across.
Yeah.
But mostly for our girls, so that they know that everything doesn't have to be dark and grim and, you know, sad, that you can find the silver lining in everything.
Yes.
If you really look hard for it.
Yeah. And sometimes that's really hard in a hospital. But I mean, this can apply to anybody in the world. And you can be at the park and not know what the person sitting next to you is going through. And, you know, it's the kids in your child's class. And you might see a kid with their head down and you're like, I wonder what's going on, you know, and you just never know what's going on. So I think offering that kindness and that support to everybody, because you do not know what they're going through.
Exactly. And we made it a point that I told my husband, I said, we have to look for the light in everybody.
Yes.
And we have to look for the good in everybody. And we have to let them feel like that's the only thing we see.
Wow.
And
wow. And what if we all did that?
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, and again, it's not easy. I mean, it's something that you have to work at, but...
But even if we only did it 50% of the time or 20% of the time, like that's better than most people most days.
Exactly.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, my husband, there was a few times when there's a couple of nurses that weren't his favorite. I mean, they were all fantastic, but they weren't his favorite. And I said, just think of it as a little game. Just play the game of what good thing can I find out of this nurse that's kind of bothering me today?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
what could, or this, you know, this parent that's bothering me, or, you know, this social worker that's bothering me, anybody.
Yeah.
You know, what good thing can I find about them today?
Yeah. And it could be the color of their nail polish, or it could be,
exactly.
you know, what, it could be anything, but it, and compliment and call them out on that. Compliment them. Because, I mean, think about how that makes you feel.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so, Katie, you have been through something absolutely extraordinary, and the way that you've handled it, wow, it's amazing and so inspiring. And I know that there's probably people listening who are going through something hard right now and needed to hear this message of hope, that even in the midst of the hardest part of the trial, there's still the ability to see the light, even if you're not totally out of the darkness.
Exactly.
Wow.
There really is.
That's amazing, Katie. That's amazing. So what's next for your family, and what's Ava's prognosis going forward, and what's next for you guys?
So Ava's prognosis is she still has this mass in her back, but they're calling it an inactive tumor right now. And there's a high percentage that the cancer will come back. So,
and what does that do to you as a parent?
It scares the living daylights out of you.
Do you think about that a lot, or are you doing a good job living in the moment about, I mean, oh, I can't
I
fathom.
I definitely have my moments where I just think, what if it comes back? What are we going to do? What if we have to go through this again?
Yeah.
But most of the time, you know, I just try and think, we're home from the hospital now, and all we can do is just enjoy.
Yeah.
We can enjoy each other. And until her next MRI, which is in June, that's all we can do. That's all we can do, and we need to live in the moment and have as much fun as we possibly can.
Yeah. There's only so much headspace and so much energy. So it's like you can either spend all your time worrying and projecting and hypothesizing what's around the corner, or you can spend the time laughing and enjoying and memorizing your children and just enjoying life. And you get to, there's only so much energy and so many hours in the day. So you get to choose
which
way you want to conduct your life. Yeah.
And it's, you know, we deal kind of with it similar as, you know, how we were in the hospital, where, you know, there are a lot of nights when I struggle and I think, what if this comes back? And, you know, I can't believe we even went through this. But the only thing we can control is right now. The only thing we can do is say, look, we're going to have fun right now, because Ava can be a little bit more active. She can go out a little bit more. Her immune system is still pretty low, but we could do a few more fun things. And I just thought, So we're going to go do the fun things. We're going to have as much fun and enjoy each other while we can, because we don't know what that June MRI is going to say.
Yeah.
So
I think that is so critically important, and that's all you can do, you know, in order to live the best quality of life you possibly can.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, we just obviously wish the very best for Ava's continued good health and just for your overall, your family's morale and strength, because you've already gone through so much. I just want good days of travel ahead, you know?
Yeah,
I want your family to have wonderful memories all over the world, just like you pictured it.
Yeah. We hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always ask my guests one final question. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Get a lot of sleep before you have kids.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could stockpile sleep? How come they haven't invented
that?
I know.
And don't get overwhelmed at the little things. Mm. Don't let all the little things make you crazy. You know, if your kids don't look perfect, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
If you know, you don't get out of your pajamas all day because you just can't deal with life, that's okay. Don't be too hard on yourself is basically what I would say.
Yeah.
Because I know as mothers, we are very, very hard on ourselves. And it's just, we should all give ourselves a little bit more credit because we are doing amazing things for these little kids.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So
I love that. That is a very powerful message and a great way to end the podcast. Katie, I know this is really hard to talk about, I'm sure. And it's so fresh in your mind. I mean, this is since last August only. And so, wow, it hasn't even been a year. And think all that's happened in the past year.
Yeah.
But I just hope the very best for your family in the upcoming year and good scans in June for Ava. And you're an extraordinary mom, Katie. There's no other
way to say it.
I really appreciate your time and your encouragement to all the listeners out there. And I know that they'll be able to draw from your well of positivity and encouragement today.
Thank you.
I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Katie for being on the show today, for sharing her story, for sharing Ava's journey with us. Nobody knows what's around the corner. And especially, you know, when we think, you know, we have life planned out and everything, you just never know. And so the message and the main takeaway from this interview today is live in the moment. Enjoy the present. Don't worry about the future. Don't dwell on the past. Live in the moment. Hug your kids. Laugh. And spread kindness to everybody because you never know what anybody else is going through. So thank you, Katie. That was a real encouragement to me today, and I hope it was an encouragement to you. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you on our Friday episode.